Would you pray with me? Most gracious God, from whom all blessings do flow, we thank you this morning for the opportunity of life, for the opportunity to come and to worship you this morning. We pray that as your creation, we would bless you and praise you. And now we ask for your presence in this worship time as we gather together as this congregation. Be with us. Speak to us. Let our worship be worthy to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is good to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, to read a few passages. One is the passage that Miss Ann just read to us. It's found in John chapter 8, starting actually with verse 31, doing verse 32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then in Galatians 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." This is the Word of God. So I hope that you've enjoyed the weekend, enjoyed the festivities of downtown Lexington, all the parades and the bands and the fireworks and all that went on. There was a lot going on yesterday. Well, yesterday my wife Betty and my son Matthew and I spent the day with friends up in Independence, Kentucky. Independence is in a beautiful area. I don't know if you've ever been up and around that area, but it's rolling hills, it's windy roads, and it also hosts an annual, you guessed it, Independence Day Parade. What better place to have an Independence Day Parade than in Independence, Kentucky? And the parade is probably not quite as large as the one here in Lexington, but we had fire trucks. We had police cars. We had the high school band. We had people on horseback. We had businesses represented. We had the local celebrities coming by, all throwing out free candy. What parade gets better if it doesn't have free candy? I mean, it was great. Kids are everywhere, getting all over the street, getting the candy. And so that was our day, and it was a great day as we spent our time in Independence, Kentucky. And this weekend, we celebrate freedom. We celebrate the fact that we have chosen to live in a free country under self-governing rules. And we appreciate and honor those people that have gone before us to give us those freedoms. Now, free and freedom means a lot of things to different people. And in Merriam-Webster, a few meanings of free are some of these. Having no obligations. If you don't have any obligations, you're free. There's no cost. If it's no cost, it's free. If it's unoccupied, the chair's unoccupied, it's free. You can sit there. Anybody want to come up, you have at it. No restraints. If you have no restraints, you're not bound, you're free. Free can mean many things. And we think that if something is free, it has got to be better. Free candy we had this weekend, I told you about. Free food. Free food's always good. Free buffet. Free buffet. It doesn't get any better than a free buffet. We talk about things like free as a bird. Somehow we equate birds and the freedom that they have in flight as a positive thing. It's a good thing. I'm free as a bird. The freedom of the open road. Some of you that like to get out and travel, you don't want to be restrained by what's behind you. You don't want to be weighed down by the cares of the world. You want to be out on the road. You want to be free. Just that freedom of the open road. Just go wherever you want. And where do you do that? You do that on the freeway. And that's better than the state roads. Why? Because the freeway, it has more than two lanes. It has three lanes, maybe four lanes. In Atlanta, it may have five or six lanes. It's the freeway. That's got to be good. You can pick any lane you want. free-for-all. Free-for-all is a brawl, isn't it? I mean, that's when we were kids. We just get in there and do a free-for-all. No rules. No rules. You can do anything you want in a free-for-all. You can kick, scratch, gnaw, bite someone's ear, punch them, anything. It's a free-for-all. And here's something we all love. Free time. Free time. Wouldn't you like to have more of that? It's free. Doesn't cost anything. It's free time. Something that we've all heard a lot about this week. If you watch sports at all, sorry, Ann, it's a free agent. We all know about free agency this week. See? Because LeBron James is a free agent now in basketball. And a free agent is great. Because a free agent, they can go anywhere they want now. All he's got to do is find out who's going to pay him the most. What team will get him the championship? And there's not just LeBron. There's several that are free agents. And in sports, you want to be a free agent because that's a good thing. Because you're free to check out the market. Who wants you? And this weekend, we come to freedom. And talking about independence. Because freedom is a good thing. Being free is something that we treasure. Independence is something special to us. We treasure freedom. We celebrate being free. We crave independence. All from the time that we can walk. See, as a baby, we're fine to be held in our parents' arms. And our parents love to hold us. And we feel that sense of security. But let us take that first step. Just a taste of freedom from being held. Just a taste of being free from restraint. And we are off. I mean, we go from crawling to running in just like that. Have you ever seen a grown man running down the mall after an 18-month-old? Sure we have. We've been those parents, haven't we? You may have seen me running down the mall after Matthew when he was 18 months old. 1 minute, they're right there. They're just standing right beside you. And the next minute, they're halfway to Sears. They are free. Little wobbly steps just running, but still faster than you can run. After that, there's no more sitting in mom's lap. There's no more letting dad hold you. Babies do this little baby yoga move where they arch their back and they slide right off your lap. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know where they learn that, if that comes innate or, but you can't hold them once they've been free. All they want is to be down. You want the freedom to explore. You don't want to be held or tied. You don't want to be doing what mom and dad only want you to do. You want your independence. You want to be free. And as a baby, it's a freedom to walk out into the street. It's a freedom to fall down the stairs. It's a freedom to go crashing into that brick fireplace. It doesn't matter. Because we're free from restraint. And then it's learning to talk. And the first words out of our mouth, it's not daddy. It's what? It's no. I want my independence. I want to do what I want to do. And we make it into our teen years, and the next big milestone of independence is driving the car. We can't wait to drive. First, we get a learner's permit. Then we get our license, which means you can hit the open road all on your own. No one else in the car. You're an independent driver. No one to tell you how to drive. It's all up to you. And later, you don't like the rules of your mom and dad at home. And my dad always said, you're under our roof, it's our rules. If you don't like that, then we move out, don't we? We're free. We're independent. You alone make the decisions. What college to attend, what job to take, what person to date, what person to marry, when and if to have children, what car to buy, what house to buy. Free to decide what type of person you will become. It's hard for some parents to let go of their children. But as parents, our job is what? It's to help our children become independent. In John 8, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus is the truth. And so if we will know Jesus, we will be his disciples, we shall be free. Freedom in Christ is different from what we think of as freedom in the way we celebrate it today. A phrase we hear in the United States is, freedom isn't free. We hear it a lot of times this weekend. We hear it around Memorial Day. And it refers to the fact that sometimes there is a cost for freedom. Many men and women have given their lives for the sake of freedom so that we may live free. Sometimes freedom may mean that you have restrictions related to that freedom. Take the freedom to drive a car. Once you get your driver's license, you are free to drive a car, but not free to look around constantly staring at buildings and landscapes and the people in the car beside you driving down the interstate at 70 miles an hour. Miss Ann was right. She does not ride a motorcycle. But some of you know that I do. And for those of you that don't know I ride a motorcycle, I know that comes as a shock to you because I look like the motorcycle type, I'm sure. And when I bought the motorcycle, part of it is a mystique around the motorcycle. There's a sense of freedom with the motorcycle. You're on the motorcycle. The wind's in your face. There's no seatbelts. There's no doors. There's no locks. There's no windows. There's nothing to encumber you. There's nothing to protect you from the pavement as it's going by at 30, 40, 50 miles an hour. You are open to the elements. As you go by some of the country roads, you smell the honeysuckle that's growing in the fence rows. You hear the noise of the birds and the animals, and it's all right there with you, all experiencing you right then. And so you're free, but you're not really totally free. So you're not free to look around as a passenger in the car is free. They can stare out the window for as long as they want. They can look at the honeysuckle growing in the fence row. They can look at the foals playing with their mothers and the other foals in the pasture. They can do that for as long as they want. On the motorcycle, if you leisurely ride down the country roads, you start staring at those cows and those horses and those baby foals. You start staring at the honeysuckle in the fence row. And pretty soon, you're going to run off the road and hit one of those pretty fences that you've just been playing with and noticing. See, the passenger can look out the window as long as they want. They're free to do that. They're not driving. They're not responsible. The passenger trusts that the driver will do what needs to be done to keep everyone in the car safe. Yet it's interesting because they're not the ones in control. They're the ones being driven. So I asked you this morning, who's more free? The driver or the passenger? Well, Paul speaks to freedom in Christ to the Galatians. And in Galatians 5, he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, Paul had founded the church in Galatia. And he had shared with those men and women there that salvation was by faith alone. But sometime afterwards, as Paul left, there became some other leaders came into the church, some Jewish converts called Judaizers, and they came telling that new church that they needed to practice Jewish laws, they needed to practice Jewish customs. Now, we know that there were many Jewish laws, and Jewish laws were complicated. And they wanted them to follow those laws to the letter. No freedom. Jews were bound by their laws. They had to do so many things just right for their salvation, for their understanding with God, however they viewed that, to worship God in their religion. And so Paul writes back to them to remind them that their freedom involved being free from the restraints of this religion. He wanted them to know that Christ had paid the price for their freedom and that it was a free gift. There was nothing they could do to obtain salvation. God had given his grace to them even to us, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that grace is free. He talks about not being burdened once again by the yoke of slavery, and that yoke refers to the Jewish law, being bound, being pushed down, being burdened. See, salvation for the Christian is not based on something you do, some law you keep, some action you perform, or how good you are. See, we're free from that type of thinking. This passage says that Jesus came to set us free. Not just the freedom from Jewish law, but the real freedom. The freedom to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But in that freedom, a disciple is not independent. A disciple does not lead. A disciple in their freedom submits. A disciple learns. A disciple listens. A disciple follows. One commentator said that Christian freedom is found in the understanding that God is leading us and not the other way around. That Christian freedom is found in the understanding that God is leading us, not the other way around. Remember the game Follow the Leader? As you were growing up, I'm sure you played this game. It's where you get together and choose a leader. That leader decides it's his or her responsibility to where to go, what to do. Sometimes it's all over the yard. Sometimes it's in the house. And so the leader leads and those behind follow the leader, going where the leader goes, mimicking the actions of the leader. And maybe you took turns so that everyone got to be the leader. You were a good child. You wanted to share, give everybody their turn. But if you were the leader toward the end of the group, it got harder because it was harder to know where to go and what to do that hadn't already been done before. And so really following was easier. Because following, you just followed the person in front of you, didn't you? You didn't have to worry about what am I going to do next. You just followed. You went where they went. You did what they did. Later, if you've ever done any group building exercises, maybe as a college student or as you got older in high school, in junior high school, you may have done a version of Follow the Leader where they blindfold you and you can't see. And then there's a person leads you around a room or outside. And you don't know where you're going. You can't see where you're going. You can't see what to do. You're trusting that this person is leading you. See, following involves trust. In the Bible, when we talk about following, one of the images that it talks and speaks to is the idea of sheep and a shepherd. And we all know that Jesus is the good shepherd. And the sad part is that we're the sheep. Because we all know what sheep are like. And sheep need a shepherd. Because sheep don't know a lot. Sheep can't defend for themselves. And so we need a shepherd. And Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. He will care for his flock. He will watch over them. He will protect them. Now, the other place in the Bible that speaks to the idea of the shepherd, and there are many, many passages, but one that we probably know the best is a passage in Psalms, Psalms 23. Usually it's a passage that we hear a lot in funerals because it's a time when we're grieving and we're sad and we are out of control and we need to know that God will take care of us. And so we may hear the 23rd Psalm a lot at a funeral. But there are promises in the 23rd Psalm, promises that a lot of times we miss. And I want you to hear them this morning. And so hear this 23rd Psalm as a way of being free to let God care for you if you will give him your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything because he'll take care of me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet in the cool waters. He restores my soul when it needs to be restored. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so that I can be in a right relationship with others and with God. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I walk through dangerous places, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of people that want to hurt me, you prepare a table so that I will sit down and be able to eat in safety. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the freedom that God calls us to give our lives to him. Christian freedom is not about rights and privileges. It's about choosing to love and follow Christ, giving up those opportunities and saying, God, I want to give you my life. I want to go where you will lead me. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to serve you, because serving Christ is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So today, as we celebrate the independence of our nation, let us be reminded of the freedom that Christ gives to all, so that we can serve him and serve others in order to demonstrate our love for him. Because we have the opportunity to be free. But as we follow Christ, we also have the opportunity to not be free and to give that freedom in our life back over to God. Would you pray with me? Most gracious God, we thank you for this day. An opportunity to celebrate freedom, the freedom of our nation, but also the freedom in Christ. That you loved us so much that you died on a cross for us to give us this freedom. You gave your life so that we could have a personal relationship with you, that you would pay the price for freedom. So now, dear God, as we come to the time of this service of invitation, I pray that if anyone's here, they would turn their life over to you and experience this freedom in Christ. Help us as we go through our week to each day die to self and give ourself to you, so that we may live and be truly free. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.